And I'm so glad to see you guys today. And as Cliff mentioned, they're doing a lot of work next door. So when you drove in, you didn't get to see kind of what's happening to the front of that building. When you drive out, just take a look to the right, because they've knocked a big old hole in the front. They're tearing down the things on the inside. And it is exciting. Just let me tell you this. Stay out of the building. So I know if you're like me, I'm like, I want to go over and look and go around out there. But they've asked me to announce that. Stay out of the building. So now you can do whatever you want, because I already announced it. But we don't want you to get hurt or anything like that. But take a look, because, man, I'm telling you, it is exciting around here. And so hopefully every week you'll be noticing some things and as God continues to help us develop into what he's called us to be. Welcome to week number 5 of our series, The Me I Want to Be. And we launched this on Easter, and we said this, that Easter isn't just an event to be remembered, right? It's to be experienced. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside of us, bringing life to us, bringing things in our lives back to life. And so what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks is oftentimes when we think about the person we want to be, if we really boil it down, we would say, you know, the me I want to be really is the me that God created me to be. It's the only way you're going to find fulfillment in life. And we've said this a lot of times, just going through life, things inside of us just feel like they're dying. You ever said, like, you know, that part of me just feels dead. You know, that part of me doesn't feel like I can get that back. It feels like it's heading in the wrong direction. And so we've talked a lot about things over the last couple of weeks. And today I want to hit on this idea of what do we do when our faith begins to die. Grab your outline there in your bulletin. We're going to work our way through this. We've started off with this scripture every week, Revelation 1:18. It's right there on your outline. It says this, I am he who lives. Right, this is Jesus talking. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. And so what we've said was, only Jesus has the key to bring things in our life back alive. That when he went to the cross and he went to the grave and he conquered death, it wasn't just so that we could have eternal life forever. It was so that we could begin to experience his life now. So that he could bring these things that the enemy has tried to take away from us, so he could bring them back and restore and bring them to life. We've said this every week, and I've never put it on your outline. I'm hoping it just kind of catches on. Maybe you'll jot it down somewhere. Maybe read it for yourself. But John 10:10 says this, the thief, the enemy, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? That's his job description. It's what the Bible says, that you have an enemy, and his job is to rob you, to pull things away from you, to steal these things that God wants to do, to bring death, to kill, not necessarily to kill you physically, but if he can bring death into areas of your life, emotional death, spiritual death, relational death, that he begins to draw us down and we no longer live the way God wants us to live. We're no longer the me that we want to be. So he says that's the enemy's description, to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And so we said, okay, well, how do we find that? We are well acquainted with experiencing the enemy's work in our life. So how do we find this life that God offers us? And that's what I want to talk about today. When we begin to experience spiritual death, when we begin to battle through these things where we just feel like, you know, faith doesn't feel like it's where it once was. It feels like I'm dying in that area of my life. How do we create our lives? How do we kind of create the soil in our lives where God can bring our faith back to life? Just before we get there, let me give one quick commercial announcement. Our growth groups are ending, getting ready to end for this semester, and so we're gearing up towards our summer. Summer growth groups run from 6 to 8 weeks long, and what we try to do in the summer is build them around just making friends, highly relational groups. So we're looking for people that are just willing to try. Say, hey, I could gather some people. I could facilitate something. I'd be willing to reach out. So the groups can be around. You can go to the park once a week. You can go out to eat and let me know, because that'll be the group that I join. You have a movie group. You can go to a movie and then get together and talk about, you know, what is a movie saying, and what does God say? Maybe there's some things you can learn, or maybe we can see how the culture is in conflict. You know, anything, some walking groups. So if you're interested, if you would say, you know what, I'd be willing to just find out more. You're not committing to anything today. But you say, I'd be willing to find out more about that. On that little yellow card that Cliff talked about, and I'll mention it again at the end on the back, if you can just write groups on there. You may want to do that now so you don't forget. I'll mention it at the end. I'll try to remember. But you say, you know, I'd love to find out more information. We'll get you more information, everything that you need over the next couple of weeks, so that this summer we can just have some connecting points for people that would say, you know, I'd like to make some better friends. I'd like to be in relationship with God's family. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Just mark it there on your card. All right, let's get back in this. Have you ever experienced that kind of dying of your faith? Have you ever said this or thought this about yourself? You say, you know what? Man, I used to be on fire. Right? I used to be passionate. It used to be a big deal to me. And like I would pray, and it felt like God was right there, and I was talking to God. I'd read my Bible, and it was alive. And then you just kind of go through seasons sometimes where you're thinking, yeah, I try to read the Bible, and it just feels cold, and there's nothing there. I try to pray, and it's like I don't even know if the prayer leaves the room. You know, I'm hot over here and I'm on fire, and then over here it just feels like I'm kind of cold, and I don't know what I believe anymore. I don't know how to hang on to all of that. And I think a lot of times this comes in our lives, and the enemy's job to begin to bring death, to steal these things away so that it feels like we're spiritually dying. It's part of what he wants for us. This message today is for anyone who's either dead or dying, in the process of dying. Maybe it's something that you've experienced where you just say, I just don't know anymore. I don't know how to engage. I don't know how to have that passion, that fire back. It feels like that part of me has died. I believe there's some things we can all learn. So as you take notes, maybe this is for now today. Maybe it's for down the road where maybe you hit some rough patch in your life and you'll say, you know what, I'm glad I begin to put God's word into practice now so that you're able to make it through those things. And look, I'll let you know, we're gonna hit the book of Revelations and Isaiah a little bit this morning. But the book of Revelations, it gives some warnings to us and to the churches. At the beginning, it's about all the end time and all of that. But at the beginning of the book, there are these seven letters that are written to seven churches. And there's debate over what they were. Are they church ages? Are they particular churches? Whatever they were. We can debate that all day long. All I know is the word speaks. Okay, so when you read this, you could go, oh, yeah, that is talking to me where I am right now. And so there's this one letter. It's written to the church at Sardis. It's there on your outline. And this is what it says. And tell me if sometimes you don't feel like this. Maybe you're in this situation today. It says this, to the angel, the church in Sardis, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. It says, I know your deeds. So maybe he's saying you're doing good. You pray and you study the Bible and you serve and you give and you're involved and you're doing really good things. It says, I know your deeds. It says, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. In other words, this is the secret death. The kind of death that no one sees. Right? Around you, everybody thinks everything's fine. Here, even at church, they're like, man, they show up, they got a smile on their face. Everything is really good. It's this death that happens on the inside. This reputation of being alive, but we're really dead. We get good at playing the game. Goes on to say this. He says, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. What he means here is because we're doing these without the life of God, we're just practicing religion. We're just playing the game. He says, those kind of deeds are incomplete because it's not the way God has designed us to be empowered by his spirit, to be living through his life. He says this, remember therefore what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. And different than the thief in John 10:10, where the enemy comes in, Jesus just is basically saying, when God comes back, it's going to be quick, right? It's not at a time when we are always aware. So that's why he says, be ready. He says, if you don't wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. So it's a strong warning. What I want to do is I want to look at what causes our faith to die. And anytime something's broken, you know, it might be a good idea to figure out how it got broken. Like, how did it get that way in the first place? So we can figure out how to put it together. So if you're feeling spiritually dead, if your faith is dying, or you can just kind of relate to that, I want to look at some of the causes that just bring us to that place where we feel like, man, I just feel like that part of me is dying. And to do that, we're gonna kind of look at some lives out of David, out of the Old Testament, some parts of his life, some things he says. Okay, and this is the same King David. The Bible says the apple of God's eye. Same King David that would worship the Lord extravagantly, that would dance before the Lord and give him his all. Same guy that would say, if I could just hold the door, right, in the house, like, I'd be happy. If I can just be in God's presence. And yet what we notice as we read through what he writes, there are times when he just feels like faith is going away. There are things that are happening. Remember we said the enemy, his job is to steal and kill and destroy. It's been that way throughout time, where I'm sure David is feeling like the enemy is trying to steal some things and bring death into this area of his life. And so this happens to all of us. So what I want to do is I want to look at some of the things that he writes and just tell me if you can relate to any of these. So what causes the death of our faith? They're on your outline. Here's the first thing that I put down that causes our faith to die. Trials and temptations. Trials and temptations. And especially those trials that go on and on and on and on. Yeah, you ever had one of those where it just feels like, when in the world is this going to be over? Because here's the truth. We talked about this a little bit last week. Everybody experienced trials. It's part of life. Okay, we're all going to go through various things. And everybody, as long as there's an enemy, as long as the devil's there, we're all going to face temptation. Okay, it's going to happen. Let me say this. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean that's anything wrong. It happens to all of us. It's the enemy's job to entice us. Okay, so those things are always going on. What I'm talking about is sometimes where you just go, what in the world is going on? Right? It's way past anything you've done before. It's way past the norm, and it's just beating you up, and you've asked yourself, what is happening? Look at what David writes here in Psalm 143. It says, the enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. You ever felt like that? I mean, David's saying everybody else thinks I'm this alive guy, passionate about everything that's going on. He says, I feel crushed and dead. He says, so my spirit grows faint within me. And I think this is the condition of some maybe here today. He says, my heart within me is dismayed. And I want to give you, because we're talking about the causes, but I want to give you one little thing here before we go on. And this is what I believe. If you're facing more than the normal trials and temptations in your life, I don't believe it's coincidental. Okay? I think in reality we have an enemy that's watching. And as you begin to turn towards God and as things begin to go in your life and God begins to work. Now listen, I don't think he knows all that God's up to. He's not God. He can't read all that God's doing. But he can tell when you begin to change, when things begin to go in a better direction in your life. And guess what? He's going to come. And what is he going to do? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? We already know his job description. So when your life begins to turn around, he's going to come in and he's going to try to rob you of the things that God wants for you. Trials and temptations that seem well beyond the norm are going to be some things that we're faced. So here's the encouragement. I know this is weird encouragement, right? You're like, how in the world is this encouraging? You know, if you're in one of those situations, you just hang on, because here's what I believe. You are right around the corner from maybe the best thing God has ever done in your life. It's the way that God works. So hang on. Listen, if I could preach, if I like the preacher voice, I'd do that. It's Friday. But Sunday is coming. You know, now I can't quite do that justice. But you get the point, right? The Bible says, amen, thank you. The Bible says weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning, okay? But listen, while all of that is good, I'm just telling you, the trials and the temptations, if we don't get the right perspective, they begin to drain us and cause our faith to die. All right, here's the second one. It causes our faith to die. It's tragedy. Sometimes things just happen in life. No, you didn't do anything, cause them. You don't deserve them. And they just happen because we live in a broken world. And we don't know what to do, and we don't know how to deal with them. I told you guys the week before Easter, that Saturday night, about 1 a.m., my cousin took his own life. What do you do with all of that? Things just come into our life that happen, and they beat us up, and they hurt. And sometimes they happen over and over and over, and there's a lot. And let me tell you, you just get enough bad news, and you just wonder, am I going to make it? Listen, the Bible's clear. When we get to this condition, we got some options. You have a choice. You can either run from God, or you can run to God. He gives you the choice. Here's what David says, Psalm 61. When my heart is overwhelmed. Some of you, maybe you got an overwhelmed heart today. It's just so much has happened because of what you've been through. But my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Something that's stable. Can I tell you something that is unstable? My mind. No amens. That's not the place to amen, all right, a little while ago. But here's the truth. It's your mind too, okay? Because what happens when the tragedy comes our way, we get it all locked up in here, don't we? And we go, well, I got to figure this out, and I got to decide why, and I got to know why, and why did this happen, and what's going on over here, and how can I analyze this, and I got to, and let me tell you, does that ever lead to stability? No, you need something that's higher than you. You need a rock that you can stand on when everything else around you, you go, I don't understand it. I just need to be led to something that's above all of this, okay? So when tragedy comes, it can begin to cause our faith to die. Here's the next thing, attacks. Attacks can kill our faith. And where do attacks come from? People. You know, I've never put it on the spiritual gift test that we give out, but I think I'm going to put it on there sometime because I've just met a lot of people, they think their spiritual gift is meanness. Right? You ever met them? You know? I mean, it's just like their mission in life is to make sure you don't fulfill your mission. You know, I have a goal to kind of make your life miserable. You know, I don't know. I don't know why this is, but you know who they are. I hope you're not one. But you know somebody that this is what's going on out there, right? Now, some of you may just be under attack, and it's verbal, and it's just driving you nuts. You know, right now, I don't think I'm under attack. You know, if you know I'm under attack, don't tell me till tomorrow, because let me go through the rest of the day. But what happens is you just burned. You just hurt. The criticism, I mean, it is now just driving you where you're just going, I just feel like I want to give up. God, where are you? Here's what David says. He said, with words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. And we're going to look at how we create this place for God to bring life in just a second. Here's the next one. No rest. No rest will wear you out. And some of you, you work and 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 go and go and go and go and go. And you've just reached this place where you're dry, you're weary, and you've never made the connection that I just got too much going on. Sometimes we violate the principle of the Sabbath. I'll probably do a whole message on that at some point. But you know what? God instituted this for us because he knows you can't go nonstop. At some point, you've got to rest and reflect and re-energize and allow God to speak to you and kind of get out of the desert. Here's what Psalm 63 says, and tell me if you ever felt like this. Oh, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. But listen where he is. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. You ever just felt thirsty and yet there's no water? You're just dry, and you're in a land where you just think, I don't know how to even be refreshed. You know what happens if you get in this place? You become cynical. Cynicism is what comes out. Well, I just do so much for everybody, and nobody even notices. That's a good indication that you're dry, right? That you need some rest. You know how this mostly comes out in men, and in myself included? It comes out as anger. We're just mad. And can't even put a thumb on why we're mad. It's just no rest. And some of you, I mean, you try. You take a vacation, but then after vacation, you need a vacation from your vacation, right? You're like, I got to go back to work so I can rest because my vacation. I'm just telling you. Some of you, you just need to stop something. Take your kids to one less thing. It'll be okay. we're caught up in society that says, go, 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 do, 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 or they won't be. Trust me. If you're following after God, they're in God's hands. They'll be what he wants them to be, all right? Have a meal at home one more night a week. Slow down a little bit. It's why we do the way church the way we do it. We want to be a life-giving church, not a church that drains you. Hey, you got to be here on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and come Thursday morning and come back Thursday night and come Friday. Can I tell you this? If we do too much around here, I give you the permission. Just don't come. I'm probably the only pastor in the world tells people, we're going to do something, but don't come, you know? Because here's the truth. You need to rest. Now, here, honestly, you know what? It's usually not the church stuff, though, that's draining us. Sometimes that gives us life. Maybe you ought to swap something. Lay some of the busyness down and pick up something that God has called you to do and see if he'll bring life back. But that causes our faith to die. Here's the last one for today. This is the big one. Guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. I've heard psychologists have said the things that cause the most stress in our life are related to guilt and shame. It's living with a secret. Some of you, you're living with a secret. There's another you that nobody knows about, and it's about to kill you because you've been holding it and hiding it for so long, and it'll create death inside of you. Look at what David says about guilt and shame, Psalm 38. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Some of you, that's what you need freedom from today. To ask God to forgive and to be set free from the guilt and shame, from the secret that you've been trying so hard to hide. You know, in the Bible, it often talks about this, the spiritual death as being dry. As being like a desert, of being weary. And it talks about God as being offering water, water of life, living water. Jesus even described like that. Why? Because it nourishes us and it brings refreshment, pours himself out on us. So what I want to do is I want to kind of, as we think about that analogy, look at how is our faith resurrected? How does God begin to move in and bring back life in these areas of our lives? Let me make sure you know what I mean, because I'm not talking about, you don't find the living water by praying harder, doing more, come to church more often, right? You know what that is? That's like going back to the cistern and just trying to pump it harder, right? You know, if I just do more, maybe. No. You gotta get your eyes up and look and find the source of the water, even in the midst of the dryness. There's a great, I wish I had like an hour and a half today. There's a great story, Genesis 21, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Abraham and Sarah, and what's going on? Abraham and Sarah, God told them to have a baby, and I'll give you the real quick version, you know, and they're not getting pregnant, so they decide to have a baby through their servant. So Abraham has a baby with Hagar, and Hagar is Sarah's maidservant. Well, it doesn't go all that well, as you can imagine. Sarah becomes jealous, so she tells Abraham, you got to get rid of her and her child. Cast them out. And so Abraham does. He casts them out. He banishes them from the camp, from the community. And so they go out and they're in the desert. You can read about this. And they're out there and they are dry. They are thirsty. They're dying because there's nothing around them. It even gets to the point where Hagar leaves her son and walks away. And she says, he's going to die and I cannot watch him die. And at that moment, God shows up and God says, you know what? I've seen where you are. I've heard your cry. And here's what he tells her. Lift up your head and open your eyes. And you know what she did? You know what she saw when she did? There was an oasis right by her. There was fresh water right where she was. She just didn't ever see it. And I got to tell you, for some of you, the water is right there. I don't know why you're not seeing it. Maybe it's the hurt. It's the pain. Maybe it's that feeling, maybe it's that feeling of dying that's coming. And God says, look, if you'll just lift up your head and open your eyes. The Bible says God is not far from those who call. He is right there next to you, ready to offer you living water, ready to offer you life. Look at what the Bible says. Revelation 22 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Now listen, I know it's a lot of stuff today. And I'm going to close this down with a couple of things that we can do. But here's my whole goal. I just want you to see the condition you're in and see the solution. Because here's the truth. The choice is up to you. What you want to do and where you want to live. All the time, the water's right there. And God says, I freely give it to you. Come and drink. All those who are thirsty, come and I will give you life. So how do we create the soil? How do we get to the place where God can resurrect our faith? Here's what I put there on your outline. The first thing, respond to the invitation. Respond to the invitation. Here's what A says in Isaiah 55. It says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest foods. In other words, don't go looking for solutions and things that don't satisfy. You've tried that. I've tried that. We've chased all the things down that we thought could bring us life. And here the Bible says, is anyone, are you thirsty? Respond. Because here's the deal. It's your move. Not God's. It's your move. He's ready. He's willing. He's already made the invitation. But the unfortunate thing is, and I've been doing this a while, and right now I'm mainly talking to church people. Here's the unfortunate thing, because we do this a lot. We'll come to church. We'll hear God speak to us in our hearts. We might even take notes. And we'll leave and we'll go home and we'll do nothing. Won't change a thing. Won't respond. Won't run to God. That's the deal. He's brought you to that place. He said, I offer you water, but it is your move. You could go the other direction and say, today is the last day. I am not living there anymore. I am not going to go down that road anymore. God, I am going to turn to you. And Lord, I receive. I respond to what you're saying to my heart today. And this trend in my life stops here. But that's the first thing you got to do is respond to his invitation. Here's the next one. For God to bring faith back to life, renew your relationship with God. Renew your relationship with God. I love this word because if you just break it into the two parts, the first part, some of you just got to go back and do what gave you life. Redo some. Remember those things that you used to do that you went, man, I feel, when I do that, oh, I feel engaged and it feels like God is moving and when I share my faith or when I dig into the word or when I listen to, some of you just kind of given up on the spiritual disciplines, and my encouragement to you is go fast again. Go spend time with God again. Get out that old worship CD or that 80s Vineyard music, Maranatha, whatever you used to listen to, and you went, I love this. It's okay. You can love it. Put it in and get lost again. God, redo some of those things. For some of you, maybe it's the new part where it's time to renew. You're like, God, I need something fresh. Lord, I need you to do something in me. You know, you've been doing that same. I get up at 6 o'clock every morning and pull my Bible out and flip through to, you know, wherever my finger lands, that's the passage I'm going to read. Y'all are laughing because you've all done it. I've done it too, right? That's the one, you know. And listen, I'm not saying that sometimes just the habit of doing it isn't good. I'm just saying you're just at that place where you're going, can you lay that down? Try something else. You know, it's okay. This is about a relationship. God may want to do something new and break you out of that rut. I love this in Isaiah 55, verse 3. He says, come to me with your ears wide open. Isn't that cool? I say that to my kids a lot, but they don't ever listen either. You know? And yeah, God, here God is telling, come to me with your ears wide. Listen, because I want to tell you something. I want to refresh you. He says, listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Now, and I didn't put this on your outline, but listen to this, because he goes on in verse 4 and 5. He says this, see how I used him to display my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you'll drink, if you'll renew, he says, I will lift you up, and other people are going to notice that there's something different about you. That death that you've experienced, and you've gone long enough playing the game, right? You knew when I read that scripture, you said, that's me. You know, my deeds are good, but on the inside, I don't know. He says, man, when you find that water, other people are going to be like, whoa, what happened? And you'll be, experience with God. He's really changed me. They'll be like, man, what is going on? And you're like, water. I found water. It'll change everything about you. You're dry, you're thirsty, you're spiritually dying. What you need is water. Some of you used to be on fire for God. It's time to renew. And here's the last thing in this passage. If you're spiritually dry, okay, you now know what you need to do, right? You respond and you renew. But oftentimes it feels like there's just kind of something in the way. In other words, there's something else that's causing this, right? And so that's why he ends it with this: repent of everything that's in the way. Repent of everything that's in the way. Some of us, we need to get rid of some junk. We need to deal with some things. We need to get some things out of the way. Now listen, hear me. This is where it gets tough. You want your life to change. You've been physically, spiritually dying. Maybe it's time to change. You know what repent means? Repent doesn't even mean I ask God to forgive me. Did you know that? Because you can ask God to forgive you and still never make a plan on changing. Repent is saying, God, I am sorry. Forgive me, and now I'm going that way. It means going in another direction. Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And look at this, don't miss this. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. Is that cool or what? Not stingy with his forgiveness. In other words, you know what he's saying? He's saying it doesn't really matter. You don't have to come with your list. I will forgive you of everything. I will forgive you completely. I forgive generously. Now, some of you, when I said something is in the way, it immediately came to your mind. You know exactly what it is. And I'm just going to tell you, before we leave here today, deal with it. Okay, it's time. You're here for a reason, and God has spoken to your heart. For a reason. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Get rid of it today. It might be somebody. And not your wife. Okay? You know, you'd be like, go home and like, honey, your pastor just said, you know. No, you know. If you're married, let's work on the marriage. But it might be a relationship. A relationship that's causing you to compromise. It's leading you down a path that you don't want to go, that's not honoring God. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's something you're watching. Maybe it's something you're clicking on. I don't know what it is, but you better find it and get rid of it. If this trend continues, remember that scripture we talked about? The Bible says God's going to come back, and he's going to come back quickly, and you're not even going to know. Miss him. He wants to bring us life. He didn't do all of this to make us into something we don't want to be. He says, I want to make you what I created you to be. I want you to be a person spiritually alive and full of faith. So for some of us today, it's repent. And listen, the best news, if you do, God loves it, and he will respond to you generously, and he is longing to forgive you and give you life. Will you pray with me?